My name is Don Anderson, and I'm the host of Missing Pieces, NPE Life. This is Season 5, Episode 1, Holocaust Survivor. And just so you know, my seasons and episode numbers mean nothing. I just get to 13, and I start a new season. So I guess they do mean something, they just don't, there's no relationship to them and time. Like I don't do one season a year, that kind of thing. And I know you're all pretty excited. The summit is coming up this weekend in Denver, Colorado. If you don't know about it, it's called Untangling Our Roots. Just Google it, check it out. You'll find it. It's this weekend. I'll only be there Thursday through Saturday morning because I got to get back to LA. And I'd like to take a moment and just to recognize my wife, Lisa. She's been so supportive through this process of me finding out I'm an NPE. It's just, she's been amazing. So thank you, Lisa. And speaking of the term NPE, that's what we call ourselves. It stands for non-paternity event or not parent expected. It's for people who find out one or more of their parents isn't who they thought. And there's also LDA, late discovery adoptee, or DCP, donor conceived person. All of which are kind of NPEs. They all kind of fall into the category of MPE, misattributed parentage. But I'm no expert. I'm just a guy with a microphone. But I am an MPE. Please don't forget to rate this podcast. And if you're a really cool person, leave a review. I love hearing from you guys, and it really helps spread the word about this podcast. That's enough out of me. Let's get on with the episode. I'm talking less and less about what the episode's about because it doesn't matter. Everybody just listens to the episode. The less I talk, the better. So today I'm talking with Jackie, and here's Jackie.
Right. Well, basically, my memory starts basically from the time I landed in the UK at about nearly 4 years old. And I, maybe I should go back and say my memory started with my dreams.
Jackie had reoccurring dreams as a young child, one of which he was standing under a giant swing set that had these large metal poles.
And I could see these chains that seemed to go up to basically heaven. You saw us, my mother, can you tell me why I keep on dreaming this dream? And she couldn't help me out on that. And subsequently, another dream came to me that I dreamt about this other place where there were a terraced garden leading down to a racetrack. Each terrace had very high, tall, pointed trees. Again, I asked my mum, can you tell me why I keep dreaming these dreams? And she said, I can't help you. Time went on, and I was going to a school locally in the North London area, and a kid came up to me when I was about nearly nine and said to me, you're adopted. I thought he was, you know, talking out of his tuchus. So I just once again went to my mom and said, somebody told me I was adopted. They were again reluctant to say anything. And the following day, with all their family and friends, they came to the agreement to tell me, yes, you are adopted, but we love you. And I hugged them. And that's basically my memory of that particular part of my story in my life.
So Jackie's adopted parents were Jewish, and he grew up in that faith.
I went to the synagogue as a six-year-old kid and learning Hebrew and all that. Wait, I put it this way. I don't want to offend you, but to me, I wasted 7 years of my life in the synagogue.
Jackie grew up as a single child and had a pretty good childhood.
I was spoiled silly. Spoiled silly. They gave me everything. I knew I had them both under my thumbs. They were already in their 40s, so they weren't youngsters to this situation because One of my father's partners also adopted a child. So I think it was on the instigation that his partner adopted a child from a similar background to me. And so my father and mother decided that's what they would do.
And what year were you born, Jackie?
2 weeks before 1942.
And so after you found out you were adopted, I mean, it was just like water off a duck's back?
Absolutely. You got it in one. I just carried on the dream, basically, because I just grew up with all the neighbors near me in the flat, in the apartments near us were Jewish. And basically, I grew up as a North London kid, Jewish kid. That's all I knew.
So Jackie went on about his life after he found out he was adopted, and everything was hunky-dory until another bombshell was dropped. It happened when he was visiting his grandmother.
Finished it, Jackie. I don't know if you know, but you're Austrian. Well, you know, she was in her late 80s, 90s, and I thought she definitely lost her plot. You know, I just thought I thought she was really being silly now, because I knew I only spoke English. You know, I listened to myself. Do I sound German? No. So anyway, to cut a long story short, once again, went to my parents, told them what I heard. Well, that's when the stuff hit the fan. My father and mother attacked me like a bulldog breed of dogs. Said, "Who told you this?" And I was, from what they were saying, I got really scared about it. So I was very reluctant to tell them anything. But they kept on and on, and I was still only a young teenager. And eventually I relented and told them it was my father's mother, in which case my father flew out the door, and I think his mother told her off quite drastically.
So what did you think during that moment? Like, it must have been their reaction must have told you something, right?
Her reaction, yes, exactly. But you see, the thing is, there was, for want of a better word, it was a conspiracy of silence. No matter what happened, I would never, her friends, her family, and that's on both sides, my father's family and friend, nobody would divulge any more than what my parents would allow me to know. So I was totaled.
And so at that time, did they say, yes, you are Austrian, or they never answered?
No, they did. They just, by like what you said, by their action, it was really confirmed that what my adopted grandma said was absolutely correct. But again, the shutter came down, and if I were to ask my father anything, he'd walk out the room. If I was to ask my mother anything, she would say, "Do you want to hurt us? Do you want to kill us all together?" You know, things like that. And so basically I was isolated. I was alone, very much alone, in my thoughts of knowing I was adopted and now realizing that I was possibly Austrian, but no confirmation came from them.
Mm. Wow. And then what was the next?
The next bombshell?
Yeah.
Well, that was when I had to prove to the what's called the Jewish Board of Deputies here, which you have to prove that you are Jewish, particularly knowing that I was a foreigner then. So when we went there, this man asked me, "Where'd you come from?" I said, apparently I'm Austrian. He said, "Well, I'm going to need some papers to prove that you're Jewish."
Like, is this like a rite of passage kind of thing? Like bar mitzvah time or later?
No. This is when we're just about to get married to my beautiful wife. You have to declare how you know you're Jewish.
Oh, got it. Okay.
It's sort of like a certificate of approval. Anyway, so with a lot of harming and hemorrhaging or whatever, they eventually, my mother, who was very upset, said she's got the papers to prove that I'm Jewish. And believe it or not, she went to what's called the silver vault stairs. You got a giant, you know, one of these big giant doors with a, like a big, you know, lock on them. That's where she had hit the safe deposit box thing. And she hit the papers of my, all my, my arrival here. So, and once he saw the papers, he said, okay. It turned out at that time, the only person they knew was my mother was Jewish because she was, well, she was Sentuk. And anyway, the bottom line is that I snatched the papers from her, and that's when I found out that I was in a camp called Theresienstadt, or in Czech, Terezin, for 2 years, 8 months as a, from a nine-month-old baby.
Wow, so a concentration camp.
Yes. Well, it was a twofold camp. It was a holding camp for Auschwitz, but also it was used as a propaganda camp, just to show that it was a good camp. They put a charade on for the Red Cross, I think once or twice. They had all new prisoners there, so they weren't skinny and they looked pretty good. They painted the buildings a little bit better. They had an orchestra. I have to tell you, this camp was, you could say it was for the elite of the Jews from Czechoslovakia, Austria, and Germany. And a few Danish, but primarily they were the prime of Europe. They were there. So they, Will was saying that this camp, then 15,000 children from my camp went to Auschwitz and murdered straight away. And this camp held about 120,000. It was a garrison town. Sadly, it was a terrible place. And a lot of people died from typhoid, typhus, malnutrition, starvation. It was a complete charade. It was. When you were finished with me, put in Terezin, Terezin, and look it up. You'll see the whole deal. The Russians apparently liberated the camp in May of 1945, and I arrived in the UK in August August 45, yeah, with 300 others guys, but they were already teenagers. I came with the five other youngsters of similar age to me. Finding out I was in the camp, I thought, how is it possible that I stayed there for 2 years, 8 months, and I have no memory of it? That was the late, you know, not at all. There's not a shred of memory at all being there. And I, at one time, said to myself, maybe my father was a Nazi.
So I want to say here, how I found out about Jackie is from this TV show. It's a UK TV show called DNA Family Secrets. And I have to say, it's the best show like this I've seen by far. It just nails it like no other show has, this world of ours. And so I wanted to say that, you know, this thing about Jackie thinking his dad was a Nazi, right? That's how he survived. I mean, you heard him earlier, thousands of Jewish kids from this camp were sent to Auschwitz and murdered. And so he's always wondered, why was I saved? You know, my father must have been a Nazi. That's the only way. So the other thing I want to say right now about this show, there's this woman on it, Professor Turi King, spelled T-U-R-I King. And she's like the scientist, like the DNA experts that kind of figures out how people are related to each other. And she's also the one that gives them the first news, right, of the findings. And she does it with such understanding, even though she's not an MPE herself, and such warmth. It's just, it makes the show for me. I sent a video of Turi King to Kara from Right to Know and just said, hey, I don't know if you've ever heard of this woman, Turi King, but isn't she amazing? And she sent me back an email immediately and said, oh my God, she's like a warm hug. And I think that's the best way to describe it, a warm hug. And anyway, in this particular episode, the way she describes how difficult it is and how heartbreaking it is to trace someone's roots when they're Ashkenazi Jew is just, I've never heard it put this way. Here, I'll play a little bit. Is it? This falls under the use of fair use written into the copyright laws of the United States. Okay. Here's a little bit really from the show, DNA Family Secrets.
That's for two reasons. So first of all, in the Holocaust, 6 million Jews were killed. When you do this kind of research, you see multi-generations of a family are gone. Now, if you look at kind of a normal family tree, so this has been done with...
And this scene, Turi is showing Stacey Dooley a proper family tree.
Genealogical records. What happens when you upload somebody's DNA? Chances are there might be a first cousin or, you know, maybe a second cousin who's already tested, and you find those matches and you use those matches as a jump start. Now, with Jackie, knowing about, you know, he's a Holocaust survivor, there aren't going to be the first cousins and the second cousins and the aunts and the uncles in the databases. Chances are they were murdered. It's really heartbreaking. We hear 6 million Jewish people, but it feels like just a number. It doesn't feel real. But when you start to follow family trees and you find generations of families gone.
So when Jackie had access to that paperwork in his mom's box, all of a sudden he knew that when he first came to the UK, he stayed at this place for like a year. There were a group of kids all from the camp, and they came to learn English, right? And to, as he says, be normalized so they could, you know, go live with these families that were adopting them. And then he finally understood those dreams from his childhood.
When I went and found the place, the actual house, that actually I was there for a few months as an older kid now, it was, you know, you could say, my dreams came into reality, because as I drove in with my car and my wife, there was the house of my dreams. And so it was like a total revelation. And this place had a strange name called Weir Courtney. And as you say, it had a terrace. And in my dreams, a terrace, tall trees, going down to a racetrack, a horse racetrack. So it was something that really... And golly, it's true. You know, when you think to yourself, I had a dream last night, and then realize the dream is reality.
In 1982, Jackie and his wife went to the concentration camp that he was in. And he was kind of disappointed with the trip. Like, it didn't provoke any memories. But then something happened.
We felt it was a wasted journey. But there was one thing. I found the records. Who stayed in the camp. And that's when a little old lady helped me out and showed me my file of my name, and I was one of the prisoners of that camp. You know, to actually see a card with a certain number and my name on it, you know, you still really, even with all the knowledge that I had prior, you still start thinking, maybe they've got it all wrong. But how can I be, you know, nobody ever came up to me and said, you sound German or anything, or Czech or anything. I think maybe it's all made up. You know, you're really doubting your history. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, totally. And then, so was it a different name?
Well, I started off with my name is Yoda Spiegel. That's why you got Yoda coming up.
Oh, that's funny. I saw that. I got a pop-up saying Yona joined our meeting, and I thought, that's weird. It must be another meeting.
It's coming on. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, wow. So that was pretty heavy in a way, right? To see the card?
Very heavy. Very heavy. You know, I mean, at that time, I was not like I am today. I go to schools and talk about my past. And it's not a problem. But at that time, you know, the slightest thing from my past would upset me, knowing things that I should know about and didn't know prior to finding out.
Hmm. And were your parents still alive when you went to visit the camp or the town?
Yes. Yes.
They, okay.
Yes. They weren't happy about it, I could tell you that.
They weren't.
Not
happy. I mean, what did they just feel like you didn't need the answers because you had them?
I think like all adoptees, they're slightly, possibly, not all, but some are insecure. I think to put it down, some would think, oh, God, if he finds out, he'll just shut the door and leave us behind, type of thing. I think it's that. I believe that's what they were scared of. Let's see now. The next significant was that the two people that looked after me when I was a kid, they were two German girls, women. Yeah, well, they were then young ladies. Initially, when I first got here, they were the ones that bore the brunt of us six kids. And they were looking for me. And all of a sudden, one day, my mother came.
I'm going to pause for a second. So when they brought the group of kids from the camp to England in Sussex.
Yes.
There were two German ladies there that was kind of helping you sort through the transition.
Yes. And they were apparently looking for me. And my mother came around one day with a letter. And the letter said that these people wanted to know me. And she was so upset by them trying to, get in touch with me. And she was extremely upset and threw the letter at me, which I read. And so it was a real, a dip back into the past for her and something new that I'd never knew about till she threw the letter at me that these two people wanted to know me. So, it's, adopted children all have, I would have little hang-ups about, medical, what did their parents look like and, what was their background. I had just that much to be a little bit more package,
Right. Yeah. And did you look them up or answer the letter?
Actually, yes, I did look them up. My wife and I went down there. And they opened a whole new life for me because they showed me pictures of me when I was a kid, as a four-year-old kid. And I never knew these photos. I'd never seen these photos of myself. And to top it all, I have subsequently found out, you've heard of Sigmund Freud, yes? Analyst? Well, these two ladies that looked after were under the arm, guided by his daughter, was Anna Freud. And she instructed them to write down, you could say we were under a microscope. So she wrote, they were told to write down everything we said and how we experienced it and what have you. So there are actually files on us kids that basically tell us exactly how we behaved, what we said, what we did at a certain times. So day by day for a year.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
That's the historical amazing part of it, yes. Because you, Don, for one of them, we were sort of a one-off to actually us six kids being so young to survive all that time in the camp was, it was a one-off.
Yeah. Wow. There's so much there, right? One is that to see pictures of yourself you didn't know existed is just amazing. And to find these people who remembered you and sought you out because, I see how you turned out. It's just amazing.
It is. It absolutely, you got it one in one, Don. Amazing. And through my life, I've been getting these little shots of information. There was an exhibition. I read in the local paper that was coming that told us all about the camp. Theresienstadt, it had a model of the camp. So You know, there was, which I actually knew, as I said, we visited it. Primarily, I've been going back to Austria from time to time and to find out certain things. And gradually, I built a much bigger picture of my background.
Many years went by, and Jackie just kept collecting information about his past. So in May of 2022, the British TV show DNA Family Secrets aired, and Jackie saw it.
I was watching this DNA Secrets program, and I said to myself, I'm going to give it one more shot, because I've tried once more with DNA, and nothing happened. So,
oh, tell me about that. I didn't know about that. So you had tried to find family through DNA?
Yes, and nothing came out of it. Absolutely nothing. So I thought, maybe I'll give it one more shot with this DNA Secrets. So I found out the email for the lady, Professor Tura King. I said, this is my story. What do you think of my chances of getting on your show thing? To come along so short, I get a letter more or less a week later, you're on the show, to me. I said, terrific. And it took about a year of talking to people like yourself, talking about your life, talking about filming where I got up to. And that was the start of finding out so much more about my past.
Wait, so it took you a year to film that episode, or from once they contacted you?
About a year. It was on and off.
Wow.
Yes, on and off.
Wow.
Yes. Well, they had to do a lot of researching to find out about my God. That's why when she announced it, I've got a little bit more.
See you too.
I know that you've been on a lifelong search. So I can tell you that we have been working on your case pretty much every day since I last saw you. We have had a team here, but also across Europe, working on this. And I know that one of your big questions was about whether or not your father was a Nazi. If your father was a Nazi, what we would be looking for is matches with non-Jewish populations.
Yes.
In Germany and Austria. So when we uploaded your DNA to the databases, unequivocally across all of them, the result was really clear. You are coming back as 99% Ashkenazi Jewish. So we think almost certainly your father was not a Nazi.
Good to hear. I really am very pleased.
She said, I can tell you now that you are 99% Jewish, because your father, from the DNA, it's showing that your father was Jewish. When I found out that he was Jewish, it was quite comforting to know that he was. Well, I just felt, I think it's sort of like another wool blanket on you. You just, no, I like I said, I've left Judaism and faith behind. You know, I'm here. You know, people say to you, you're a miracle. I said, no, the miracle would have been the 65,000 Jews not dead and killed, and me getting killed would have been right. Then I'm no miracle. I'm just, you know, one of the lucky guys that made it.
One of the lucky guys who made it, indeed. So Jackie assumed, as Tori and everyone assumed, that most of his relatives perished, were murdered. I mean, it's like she said earlier, generations of Jews were wiped out. Turi and her team are amazing, and they found another miracle. And again, I'm claiming fair use on this. You know, I did talk to Jackie about this, but there's nothing like seeing someone find out about it at the time they find out about it. as opposed to hearing about how they found out about it at a later time.
So did a little bit more research and traced other family members and had them take DNA tests. I can tell you that some of your relatives made it through the Holocaust. Very few, but some of them made it through.
Being able to see the look on Jackie's face as he hears that he has relatives still alive is priceless.
They live here in the UK.
This country,
Yeah. They're either your first cousins or your second cousins.
So basically, Jackie just found out his closest living relatives live in the same city as he does. But the best part of the whole show is when he tells his wife the good news.
Did you find out anything? I can't wait any longer. Nothing or something?
Cuss.
Cousin? Well, that's good. Alive or dead?
Alive.
Really? And where are they?
In this country.
This would be on his mother's side.
It's such a beautiful moment to capture. And the show did it well. And I know I'm going on and on about the show and you guys are screaming, Don, tell us how we can watch this show. But unfortunately, you cannot get it in the United States. I did figure out how to watch it, but I'm not sure I should say because I don't think it's quite legal. But if you reach out to me, get in touch. I'll tell you how I did it. Not telling you to do it, but I'll tell you how I did it. And if you're in the UK and have not heard of this show, it's on BBC Two, and I think they're waiting to hear now if there's going to be a fourth series. But it is absolutely amazing show. I love it. So in the episode of DNA Family Secrets, Jackie does not find out who his biological father is. They cannot determine it. But after Jackie's episode aired, an Israeli newspaper picked up the story, and then this organization in the United States called DNA Reunion Project at the Center for Jewish History. It was co-founded by Jennifer Mendelson and Dr. Adina Newman, and they are amazing. They help people, Holocaust survivors, find missing family. And they were able to find out who Jackie's biological father was, and a whole lot more. Tori King actually mentioned his father's name on the episode.
They did find it, but I didn't know at that time then his name. She mentioned his name. She mentioned a few names, and she said, do you know a corn fine? I said, no, I've never heard of it. It was only these two other ladies from the East Coast DNA experts who'd phoned me up only a few weeks after the show and said, we're going to take it up and we'll find out more. And they're the ones that actually found out that my father was, his name was Adolf Kornfein.
And not only that, but they found another miracle.
Jennifer and Adina found that I have Kornfeins in Saloon, Missouri, in Paris, in Lyon, France, and one in Israel. They are cousins of mine. And I mean, so I, from this DNA stuff, it's amazing. It's opened a door to my past. Because at one time, I really thought I was the only one that ever made it. Because I was more than pleased to know. And I'm still in touch with this Bill Kornfein in Saloon, Missouri, who happens to be, I think his father was my father's brother.
Oh, so you're like first cousins.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really close.
That is close, isn't it?
Yeah. And have you guys met or just Zoomed? Or
I've done a few FaceTimes with him. We talk FaceTime or text and what have you, you know.
That's amazing that you found someone that close, especially after, you know, all the deaths that.
Yes.
Wow.
Absolutely. It's very comforting to know. One minute you, and I always say that I'm a lonely man in a crowded room. So that now I'm not such a lonely guy. I've got a few people on my side. If you want to know more exactly in more detail, if you could obviously hear this show, what we talk about now. So if you go to Google and put my name, Jonas Spiegel, or if you put the title Lost and Waiting to be Found, tells you precisely, chronological, exactly what I my life.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on, and I'll let you know when it comes out. I actually couldn't find what he was talking about when I Googled it, but if you go to Times of Israel, it's a newspaper, and put in Jackie concentration camp survivor, you'll find his story. And Jona is J-O-N-A. There's no H on the end of it, like I was doing. Maybe that's why I couldn't find it. I'd like to thank Jackie for sharing his amazing story with us today. All the music on today's episode was provided by Billy Sullivan of Sully Stone Music. Go to sullystone.com to find his musical library for all your music needs. To get in touch with Don, you can email me at donnpe@icloud.com, or you can reach out to me on Instagram. That handle is npe_life_podcast. And I'll look forward to hearing from you. My name is Don Anderson, and I'm the host of Missing Pieces, NPE Life. I'll see you on the next episode. Thanks for listening.